Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. Can we give it up for the worship team one more time? Oh man, it is so good to be with you tonight, and we are going to be jumping right into Ephesians chapter 5. My name is Tom. I am the Northwest Campus pastor, and I do, okay, I was like, who was that, Mom? We're not coming necessarily to the conclusion of Ephesians. We are coming to a conclusion of Ephesians tonight, and Pastor Al walked us through last week, and like Gennaro announced this evening, Pastor Ron will be leading us into basically the unknown next week. He has been talking about this for a long time. We're excited for it, just a verse by verse. That man has so much wisdom, and it just comes out of him so naturally. That you're just like, hold on, Pastor, you just said something right now that could help so many people out. And he's like, what? What did I even say? It just flows from him. And so I'm excited for that. If you have some people who like to tear the Bible apart, if you have people who have Bible questions, I highly invite you to invite them. Encourage you is probably a better word. I encourage you to invite them because he is able just to break things down so well. And so that's going to be next week. We are concluding chapter 5 of Ephesians. And I will be 100% honest with you. I do not want to talk about this. I do not want to be the guy for the job, but God is funny, and I'm forced to be in this position because ultimately we do pray about what it is that we are going to not only talk about, but who it is that is going to be speaking over these particular weeks that we are opening scripture. And this one is very important for a lot of different reasons. And if you don't read it slowly, you're going to miss some things. And something that I just want to brush up really quickly on when we get into this book of Ephesians is that this, we need to remember that this was written to a group of believers. Not to say that we aren't, but this was written to a group of people who, I mean, this was fresh. I mean, at a point like this, you know, whenever we talk about Jesus walking on the earth, we have a comma in this description. It was thousands of years. It was 2,000 years and some change. These guys, I mean, we're talking under a decade. This is something that is, this is fresh. Like Jesus was just on the earth. And these people are now followers of what he started, and then through the apostles, and then Paul is now writing to this church. And he's trying to get this church to kind of, hey guys, you guys are acting up in certain ways, and I need to talk to you about a handful of things. I need you to understand a few things. This is for the first time a group of people from all different walks of life, all different backgrounds. It's Jews, it's Gentiles, it's this wide variety of people. And now they're all starting to believe in the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, this man who rose from the grave. And there's so many eyewitness accounts of this, and now these people are getting together, and other people in cities are beginning to notice, what is it about you guys? What is it that you know? There was something that was just undeniable. It was truth. And so these people are coming together, and it's not what we know today. where what we know today is there's all these different denominations, there's all these different different subgroups of people who believe one way and that way, and they have a building on this side of town, and cities have this, and it's all the, I mean, it's a completely different world that Paul is writing in the church of Ephesus, and we're reading it in 2024 in America, and we're trying to understand what is being said, and you can't fully grasp that unless you grasp the idea and the truth and the context that this was written to a group of people in a city that basically this was such a huge city in spreading the gospel. And so this is who Paul is writing to. And so when it's talking about all these wide varieties of different topics, and we get to certain things that in 2024, it go, hey, whoa, you can't say that. Hey, you can't, that's politically incorrect. You can't say that. And the Bible goes, well, I just did. And I'm not gonna cater to what the culture says. Because at the end of the day, God is trying to get us to know him. God isn't trying to impress and be politically accurate or socially accurate. He sees sons and daughters that if they do not know him, will be on permanent timeout and away from him and not enjoy the life that God has planned for us to live here on this earth. And so tonight, I'm talking to all people from all walks of life. I'm talking to single people. I'm talking to married people. I'm talking to people who have it together, and I'm talking to people who don't have it together. If you're born in Bakersfield, I'm talking to you. If you weren't born in Bakersfield, I'm talking to you. And so Pastor Al, he was walking us through, and he ended on verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 5. And so I'm going to recap this just real quickly, starting in verse 18. And it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is, dissipation. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also loved does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each individual among you also love his own wife even as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respect her husband. How are we doing? Come on. I mean, there's a lot here. There's a lot to look at, and I do not have a lot of time. Marriage retreat is in a few days, especially if you have questions about what we just talked about. And if I don't clarify anything here tonight, take it up if you go to marriage retreat there. And then this church also has, I mean, we're excited. We're going to do a few things after marriage retreat, but this is a very interesting passage because I think if you've heard of the word trigger, It's when people get annoyed real instantly, like they're super sensitive, and if a particular subject sets them off, that means that they're triggered. If you're old, that's what it means, okay? And you probably heard it, you didn't know what it meant. So I think in some context, we can read verses like this and get triggered or annoyed at something that has been spoken. And it comes straight from Scripture. Pastor Ron led us through a devotional on Tuesday in which we covered a topic in the Old Testament that if you read it really quickly, you are totally going to misunderstand what actually happens here. You're going to assume that God is asking something that literally goes against his character and his nature. But if you read it slowly and you take your time to read it with the understanding and memory of God's character and nature, you will then see what is clearly being said by the Scriptures. In our society, I'm just going to talk to America for right now because that's where we live. The American society says one thing about a man and a woman. And God says something different. And because God says something different, society attacks what God says and says there's no way that this could be accurate information. It's so dated. It's so old. I would beg that we need to read the Scriptures slowly in order to understand what's really being said here. That we need to remember God's character. That we need to know his heart. And so, again, I am talking to married people. I'm also talking to single people. If you are somebody who feels that God is calling you to eventually be married, this information is good for you. If you are in a relationship, if you are married, and your husband or your wife does not look like what is scripturally here, or if you intend to be one of those drag Jesus' name through the mud kind of Christians and use certain scriptures against your spouse, we're here to learn together. Because what is happening here is very, very interesting. And there's a wide variety of people here tonight and online. There's a wide variety of circumstances that we're going through, but let's look at what the Bible has to say. This is, again, not my opinion. This is what the Bible has to say. And I do want to kind of subtitle tonight, Faith Over Comfort. Faith Over Comfort. And if we could kind of get that in our minds, faith over comfort. Realizing that God is who he says that he is. So let's look at these passages really, really quickly. First things first, right there in verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husbands. And then towards the end in verse 33, it says, let the wife see to it that she respect her husbands. That word subject means to submit to one's control, to yield to one's, yeah, we got it on there? Oh, cool. To yield to one's admonition or advice. So when it comes to the spiritual guidance of the home, the family, or the decisions, spiritual, that the woman, the wife, would lean in to what God has spoken to the husband. So let's continue. Again, I don't know why God makes me talk about this. Husbands, you are to love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. The word love there means to have a preference for, wish well to, and regard the welfare of. I would like to use a definition like this. Do you want your wife to succeed as much as you want your sports team to succeed? Do you want your wife to succeed like you want your fantasy team to succeed? Do you want your wife to succeed as bad as you want yourself to succeed in your job? This is what is being talked about here. Wives, you are to be subject and listen to the advice, the counsel of your husband. But you husbands, love your wife more than anything else. And as we start to see this a little bit here, if you could put that first image up, husbands, to love your wives. The husband and wife image back there, Alex. You see how husbands love the wives and the wives respect the husbands. You know what scripture doesn't say? Wives, love your husbands. Husbands, respect your wives. I have a theory on that. I think it's easier for women to love, and I think it's easier for men to respect. But it's hard for men to love, and it's hard for women to respect. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, if the woman's not in the home, if the wife is not in the home, how are kids going to get an accurate depiction of love? The woman the wife is so powerful. There's no way my wife and I could raise our kids if we were separated like that. There's no way we could raise our kids if both of us were the same way. And so what Paul is writing here is he's trying to communicate there are beauties with your differences. But there's some things you need to work on too. And blow him up afterwards and be like, dude, seriously, you called him daddy? That guy's never going to pray again. It's just not going to happen. But to respect him and encourage him, to look at him and just be like, I love that you're doing this. Thank you for leading our home. And you know what's so crazy? What's so crazy is this, is it does seem to be real simple, but then Paul starts writing about it and Christ and the church, and it gets a little convoluted and it kind of gets a little bit difficult. This is an image that I found online. If you could put up the simplified way of the structure of the church here. Okay, real simple. Real simple. Husbands love, wives submit, just like Christ loved and the church submits. Real easy. It's not supposed to be Christ submits and the church submits. It's not supposed to be a husband submits and the wife submits. That's not how it works. And so depending on what triggered you or got your attention, did you also catch that the church, we're supposed to submit to one another, be subject to one another? We didn't catch that because we got too caught up on being husbands and wives. But in verse 21, it says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ in verse 21. We should have this mutual respect of one another. Yeah, but that person might be a baby Christian. He might be right, but he might be used by God. God might be speaking through him. The ultimate thing that you and I are supposed to do is have a firm relationship with Jesus Christ, to follow after God and to talk to him as often as possible. This is the kind of people that we are supposed to be, because it's interesting. There is a hierarchy when it comes to not only biblical living, but when it comes to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This idea that you know, the man is the head of the household, and then it's the woman. Well, it's also that Christ is above the man. There's hierarchy there. There's order there. And Jesus himself knew the order. If you can put up John chapter 5, verse 19. Therefore, Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. Jesus knew the order. And then we're going to walk around in 2024 because it's a slogan and it's a movement, and we're going to say, no, no, no. I don't follow anybody. I don't let anybody tell me what to do. But when Jesus himself said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it, and you and I are supposed to be Christ-like, we're supposed to have a submission to what the Father is saying. Individually, man, woman, we are supposed to be completely following after Jesus Christ. But like that one diagram showed, the husbands, then you love and you are passionate and you are encouraging and you are motivating. And if any guy in here is someone who likes to go to the gym or someone who likes to work on their mental capacity or whatever it is, you got to look at the way that you take care of yourself and take care of your wife just the same way. She's not the person who's supposed to do this and this for you because she's supposed to be subject to you. Well, I'm the man, I'm the head of the house. Did Jesus tell you to treat her like that? But then women, come on. There is nothing more attractive than a man who submits to the Father. Because you'll see that in the day-to-day lifestyle. And yes, right out the gate, you are gonna have to help him out a little bit. He might call dad or God, daddy God. He might get a verse wrong. He might be a little bit tired from his workday and forget to pray at night before going to bed. He might fall at certain, but for you to respect him and love him and encourage him and say, you are doing such a great job. To encourage, to love. And I think something that's really, really funny too. Like you see the Bible just kind of has some fun with it. If you can put up like the entirety of that verse, do you see how much is in like a pinkish purple? And how much is in blue? Because Paul just goes, women, respect your husbands. And women's like, got it. And then Paul's like, all right, men, love your wife. Also, here's what it looks like since you need word pictures. Since you're a visual creature, let me explain it for you. And then at the very end, he tags it again. Look, he says all this stuff about, and then at the very bottom, he says, and the wife must respect her husband. No explanation is needed. And what's interesting is, again, we were having our devotional with the church, and we were talking about, you know, the things that happen in Scripture to the men and the things that happen in Scripture to the women. And there's very, very few women that you see in there and all this stuff. And it's because the entire Bible is about a whole bunch of men that are thick-headed and they mess up. And right. And that's just the truth of it. But the power that happens when there are two in the home that are going after God to the best of their ability and they're putting this into practice to love one another, to pray for one another. My wife and I, we've been married for 8 years and we are still getting used to this praying together thing. We dated 2 years prior, so technically I'm adding that on. That's 10 years together. And we prayed when we dated. Before we ended every night together, we would pray. Walk her out to her car, or if I was leaving, she was out at my car, we would pray, you know, kept a lot of temptation away, and it was really good. If any of you guys are dating, it's a good piece of advice. You need to pray at the end of the night because you'll do something else. But it is one of those things. It is one of those, especially, anyways, okay, retract. But to pray, and we're 10 years later, and we still have to set that time aside to pray for one another. And what's so crazy is that this is all throughout Scripture. God's character is for us to learn this balance. Please, church body, if you are not here with what the Scriptures are saying, please understand that you are a male and a female, that when you got together, you had to live together. That is so difficult. And then on top of that, this relationship with the Father is so intimate. But what God is saying through these passages, and really throughout the entirety of Scripture, is that it is so important that you and I, we would have our own relationships with the Father. Because what will happen is you'll be faced with a trial. And that's where it says, husbands, you better have a relationship with the Father, because the wife is going to look at you and say, what's our move? Sure, the wife might have heard from the Lord, husband might have heard from the Lord, but at the end of the day, the order is that the husband, but the husband should be loving the wife, encouraging the wife. The evidence, it should be so strong within the home that because the husband is constantly loving and filling her and constantly in this position of encouraging her, that the knee-jerk reaction is that she would then want to submit, that she would want to love, because she doesn't have trust issues with him. She doesn't have any insecurities. He's constantly flattering her, regardless of if she feels like she looks beautiful. That husband is constantly reminding her of how beautiful she is. And not just beautiful in the Lord, remind her that you think she's sexy. Let her know. Let her know she's funny. Let her know these things that you truly believe. Make a list of them. Wives, do the same. Let this be a time from here on out that you are going to be the spouse that you vowed to be on your wedding day. But the funny thing is, it's just problems got in the way. Mortgages got in the way. You got a new car, so now you got that on the way in your path now. You've got kids that don't give you any second of any day whatsoever. And so you're really not even mad at your spouse. You're just exhausted from taking care of them and being there for them and trying to be a good parent that you just accidentally took it out on them. But now you realize, I need to tighten up a few things. I need to get my life back to making like the order back in order. If we were to spend this time with the Father and lean in and say, God, I need your guidance. What can I do to show them that I love them? What can I do to show them that I respect them? What, God, Father, speak to me. What can I do? Oh, go to Albertsons when I get off of work and buy some roses? No problem. I'll do that. And you walk in with those roses. She looks at you. She says, what'd you do? And you just go, oh, I'm a new man, right? And it is that simple. And it is that simple. I want to read. I want to read one more verse, because I love this church. And in today's devotion, this is what it talked about. Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. It says, Jesus called them, his disciples, to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. I use that as an example tonight because I think sometimes what we do, and I am guilty of it, is in our marriages, in our relationships, we feel that, well, I did this, they need to do this. I've been doing this all day. They come home, now it's, you know, tap out, I'm done, I'm gonna go do this. And Jesus says, why are we trying to create a hierarchy here? Why are you trying to figure out who's better? You're married. The two of you have become one flesh. Husbands, it is a heavier weight for you. It's why we were built the way that we are. We are meant to sacrifice. We are meant to provide. We are meant to have unity with the Father. And everything else will take its place after that. Because after a message like this, it's like, oh, are we just supposed to, you know, instantly be this way? No, not at all. God is supposed to guide you. The Holy Spirit is to move within you and teach you how to love this person the way that they need to be loved, to respect this person the way that they need to be respected. But you don't know what they did. I don't. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. But it's not going to be easy. I know that. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. And again, this is the model for us. But Tom, it's hard for me because, you know, I grew up and I've heard this cliche. I get that. We all have our thing. I mean, let's face it. You get mad and you're going to start quoting verses from this and just be like, yeah, that's right. I'm the head of the household. That's not good. That is not good. We do it because we're insecure human beings, but it doesn't make it right. Husbands, it will be difficult for you. Wives, it will be difficult for you. But we are looking into the future. We're looking into the future for our kids to be an example. So whenever I do premarital counseling, I am convinced of this. The devil wants to prove to the outside world that marriage with God at the center doesn't work. That's why he tries to tempt. That's why he tries to divide spouses. He wants the rest of the world to say, what is the difference between your marriage and my marriage? At least in my marriage, away from God, I get to do this, I get to do this, I get to be with this, I get to go there, I get to do whatever I want. Why would I want your marriage? And we have to be the people, the body of Christ. We need to be the ones that stand up and say, I will sacrifice for my spouse. I will. And for those of you that are single and you're not there yet, build this mentality now. Start praying, start making your list of what he or she is gonna look like, act like, be like, whatever it is. And you say, Lord, I am going to take care of myself so I am ready for when that spouse comes into my life. I don't want to go into a relationship with baggage. I don't want to go into a relationship not knowing what I'm supposed to do. God, you prepare me now. And if you are already married and you find yourself comparing your life to the words of Scripture, you today, things change. Today, things change. If your spouse is not with you here tonight, then you go home with this information. But on the car ride home, you are praying and that their minds, their hearts are prepared. Because this will be the marriage you've always dreamed about. It will be because it's God's word and he breathes life when he speaks. So church, again, I know that this is interesting. This is stuff that isn't necessarily comfortable. But God has designed man and woman to complement each other. There are strengths and there are weaknesses on both sides. And God brings the man and the woman together to be one. And what a beautiful union it is. So if you would, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I pray for freedom over marriages that think that they can't reach what is being talked about here tonight. I pray freedom. God, marriage was your idea. You wanted for us to experience this. Father, I pray for hope. For those that are here tonight that maybe don't think that they have it in their marriage or if they're single and they just don't see anybody on the horizon, God, I pray for hope. That your hand would guide us. Your Spirit would lead us, that your word would come to life on how we can be better followers of you. God, Scripture does make it clear that life is not about being married. It's about having life with you at the center of it all. That whatever we would do it because you have told us and this is your will. You've guided us here. So for those that are married and those that you have called to be married, I do pray that tonight we would be set free from any sort of bondage or anything that we thought before coming in here, God, that you would set us free to see the beauty of marriage, the beauty of having somebody by our side. Help us here tonight to leave here forever changed. God, if that means that some spouses need to give their lives over to you, to believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is their Lord and their Savior and receive the Holy Spirit that you have promised to us, God, I pray that tonight that would be done, that they would get that prayer, that no marriage would leave the same. And Father, we just thank you in advance that we get to be the symbol of Christ and the church. Thank you, Father. We love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have a great rest of your night. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King. Give us our love.